Started this last week. Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue.
Okay, could you use that?
Yeah. We are learning the sefer, the ma'amar, the article, more than a sefer, called Chalukei HaNachal. It's written by Rabbi Yitzhak Reiter, some maybe 100 years or so ago. Rabbi Yitzhak Reiter wrote seven fundamental principles of Emunah. Last week, we were zocher to start the first few lines of the first principle. Bezrat Hashem, we'll move forward a little bit from there.
Who was the teacher? Who did he learn from?
Rabbi Breiter was a gadol in Breslev that learned from the gadolim of his age. I have here a note somewhere. Who were the gadolim at that time? Can't find it. Don't know. I have to look it up. Okay.
So it's like early 1800s?
No. He was born 60-something years after the death of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman died just over 200 years ago. So he was born about 150 years ago. So presumably he wrote this about 100 years ago. Okay. So we started off last week by saying the first principle, which Rav Breiter calls the Yisod HaYisodot, the Ikar HaIkarim, the fundamental principle of all fundamentals, is that a person knows that everything that happens to him in the world comes from Hashem. Okay? So that's how Rav Yitzhak Reiter starts off. And that's not a big chiddush for those of us who have studied Breslev teaching before, Rav Nachman, Rav Arish, to know that everything comes from Hashem. Yofi, it's good. We're there, it's not a chiddush. He goes on to say as follows. The person should know that when they want to approach Kedusha, something holy, whether it's a mitzvah, some other form of holiness, the holiness that we were talking about in the lecture earlier today, right? When a person wants to achieve something holy, Rav Yitzhak Breiter explains to us that he cannot do so unless and until Shemayim let him. It's in the hands of Shemayim. It's not even in our hands to become holy people, to try and do holy things, to try and fulfill mitzvahs, to want to be more tzniyus, to want to guard our eyes more. That's not in our hands. Hashem says when he allows us to do it or not. I can jump up and down, I can try all I like, it's not going to happen for me. I'm not going to reach there. And that's okay. It's really good to know that, because it can be very depressing and very upsetting when I find that I'm actually stopped from getting closer to Hashem. I'm stopped from being holy. I'm trying my best. I'm trying not to look at the internet. I'm trying to guard my eyes when I'm in the street. I'm trying to keep my thoughts as clean as I can. And it's just not happening. Why? I'm trying, I want it. So Rav Yitzhak Breiter says, Baruch Hashem, don't worry. It's from Hashem. It's from Hashem that this, Hashem is stopping you, Shemayim is stopping you. Well, how? Because there, Hashem is putting into your head these thoughts, right? Your Yetzirah is not you. Your Yetzirah is not you. It's important for us all to know that we are not our Yetzirah. We are a Chelek Elokit. We're a godly soul, a godly neshama. We only want to do what God wants, right? We're part of Him. Well, above the angels even. The angels are just created shlichim. But we're actually a part of Hashem. And if we're a part of Hashem, which we are, then we want what Hashem wants. We are a part of Him. So what stops us? Yetzirah. Hashem created a Yetzirah and said it's very good. Not only is it good, it's very good, the Yetzirah. Why? Because it helps us to grow. It allows us to grow. It is what gives us free choice in the world. It is what creates a barrier between us and Hashem. Because otherwise we're all one. If we don't have a Yetzirah and we're part of Hashem, then that's it. We're back to being part of the Ein Sof. There's no point. There's no point being here. The purpose of this world is in order to separate us, so to speak, from Hashem, so that we can act independently to some extent, which gives us free will and gives us the ability to earn a reward. Hashem says that the reason he gave us a Yetzirah, the reason he gave us free choice, is because a person cannot eat poor man's bread. What's poor man's bread? Poor man's bread is what a poor man has to eat. What does a poor man have to eat? Bread given to him by someone else. Called by the Zohar, the bread of busha, the bread of embarrassment. To eat bread that you're given as a free gift because you can't afford it yourself is an embarrassment. And Hashem doesn't want us to eat poor man's bread, the bread of embarrassment. What does that mean? That means a free ride. It means that it would not be good for us if we got a free ride. If everything was given to us on a silver platter, if everything we wanted came like that, I'd like to learn Shas. There you go, you've learned it. I'd like to have good Midos. Yofi, you've got them. And I've done nothing. I haven't struggled, I've made no effort, I haven't fallen, I haven't stumbled. It just came nice and easy. I get to Shamayim and my reward is a busha. I cannot live with myself, so to speak. In Shemayim, I can't accept the reward in Shemayim.
And die with myself.
I can't die with myself. I can't live and I can't die. Why? What am I going to do with myself? How am I going to look myself in the face for eternity to know that I don't deserve this? I didn't struggle for this. It's just given to me on a plate. Hashem doesn't need to create the world. Let him just create Gan Eden. Put us all in Gan Eden. And we'll all sit there in Gan Eden and bask in the glow of the Shekhinah. And everything will be your feet. No, we will not be happy. We're not happy. We couldn't live that way. We have to feel like we earned it. How do we earn it? Welcome to the world. And the same, and what Rabbi Yitzhak Breiter is telling us is just and the same idea here. Even in Kedusha, to get to Kedusha, we have to struggle. We have to fall. We have to get up, fall again, get up. And only when Hashem knows the time is right, only when Hashem knows that it's going to be helpful for us, then he's going to give it to us. Then it's going to be a free gift. It's going to be a free gift. We should know that if we think about it ourselves, we see that that's true. We see that if there's something that we're working at, and suddenly we get it after a lot of effort. Right, the Gemara says, what's the quote? In Yagata Tamin, Lo Yagata Lo Tamin. Right, if you struggled and you yearned, believe. If you didn't struggle and you didn't yearn, don't believe. You don't get, whatever you get that you didn't struggle for or yearn for or pray for, don't believe in it. Right? It's not going to last. It's not real. It's just an illusion and it's not helpful. But if you struggled for it, and if you yearned for it, if you prayed for it, you earned it, believe, it's now yours, you've acquired it. And you see that it's a gift. We see that it's a gift. If we think about anything valuable that we got, we only got it after a struggle. Only the valuable things in life we got after a struggle. If I met my wife after a shidduch that was introduced to me by someone, and we got married after 3 dates, and everything went perfectly, after I get married, the week after I get married, I look back, and I sit down and I think, this is it, marriage, heaven, wonderful. The truth is, I did nothing, I have nothing, I earn nothing. It's meaningless. It was given to me on a plate, and I didn't do anything for it. Come 50 years, 60 years, 70 years down the line, and we've fought, argued, struggled, made up, learned to love each other, in spite of everything. Now I can sit back and psh, what have I got? What have I earned? Right? Then it's true. Then it's true. But until then, I don't have anything. And when I get it, even more so, I see it's a free gift. What does it mean it's a free gift? Didn't I just struggle? Didn't I just earn it? No. Because actually, at the end of the day, everything is a free gift from Hashem. And if we think about anything that we have that's valuable, it was a free gift. Whether it was in the material world or in the spiritual world, it's still a free gift. What does it mean? Isn't that a contradiction? That you earned and you struggled, but yet it's a free gift? No. The answer is this. We struggle and we suffer and we yearn and we pray, and then we get given it. And if we're true to ourselves, we actually see that what we got given was a complete free gift. A complete, complete free gift. That has no... In truth, no. We did two different things, right? It's as if... You can't see this on the internet. But it's as if... I know it's a good analogy. It's as if I'm doing this. This is my effort, this is my effort. And suddenly from Shamayim, bingo. It's not I'm doing this, and suddenly from Shamayim, bing, I get it. It's not I'm doing my effort, and suddenly from Shamayim, I get back. Where did that come from?
It's like putting out the cup. Because you're building a cleat.
Yafet. So very good, Yosef. So what's Yosef saying? Yosef saying is, my job is to build the kli. I'm building a kli. And what do I do? When I got to my, if when I've done my effort is, I've built this kli. What a kli. Let me just give a kli. I've built this kli. It's an amazing kli. You know how long it took me to make this kli? Years of effort. But you know what? At the end of the day, it was just a kli. It actually was nothing. It was just a kli. And what happened? Hashem comes along and says, ah, nice kli. And he fills it up with the most beautiful Chaton Chardonnay wine. I know, I don't even know wine. Right? The most beautiful wine you can think of. And that is the gift. The wine Hashem fills it up with. I struggle to make the kli, but what I get is the gift that's completely way above the kli. It's not even on the same level of the kli. It's a complete gift. What does it mean, for example? For example, let's take a marriage. Single, sticking with that. My effort is, I try and speak to my wife nicely. I try and not criticize her. I try and put her in first place. I try not to look at other women so that I only think about my wife. That's my plea. If I do all that effort, what do I get back in return? Shalom bayit. Shalom bayit is a spiritual feeling of togetherness, warmth, closeness, understanding, appreciation, love. That's just a gift from Shamayim. Where did that come from? It's not what I created. What did I do? I didn't criticize. I bought some flowers. I did all the externals. I made the walls so that the bracha, and then I was given the bracha. I was given it. But what I was given was really not related to what, it was related in the fact that it was a necessary building blocks to me to get that. But once I got it, it was something completely different. My effort in prayer is to say the words of concentration. My effort in prayer is to say the words in meeting. Hashem, safatai tiftach. Hashem, open my lips. Hashem, open my lips. Right? That's my job. What do I get in return? Instant connection with Borei Olam. Shot of energy straight into my neshama. Where did that come from? I didn't create that. That was a gift from Hashem. I needed to do my job, otherwise it wasn't going to happen. If I didn't stand there with my eyes closed, if I didn't say the words with meaning, then I'm not going to get that back. But my job and his job, I didn't create it. I shouldn't think that I created it. I don't create nothing. I have a job to do, to make my effort, to make top, to build the kli. That's my job. What I get back is him. And Hashem says when that kli is ready. Right, what Yitzhak Breit is saying here is Hashem tells us when that kli is ready. I think it's ready now. Right? Hashem, I'm ready. No, hit me with it. I made the kli. I prayed for you. I prayed for Parnassa this morning. No, you were there. You heard me. 10 minutes. 10 minutes on Parnassus, a whole hour on Parnassus, Hashem. And I'm looking around, and where's my Parnassus? There's a kli. You said, build a kli, and I'll fill up. Hashem says when the kli's ready, not us. We have no clue when the kli's ready. I don't know when my kli is fit. Currently, my kli might fall apart. Currently, it's going to be, maybe it's not big enough. Right? What he wants to give me is $1 million, and I've built a kli for $3.50. Right? And $1 million that he wants to give me, he's only going to give me once. Right? And if you want it now, take it now. But you know what? You're going to catch $3.50 of it, and the rest is going to go to waste. I can give it you now if you really want it. I'm going to give it to you, but you can't hold it. Or I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to make you wait. And when you've built a kli that's big enough to accept it, then I'll give it to you. And you know what? You're going to have the whole thing, and it's been a good grade for you. But where I'm sitting now, I don't know that. Where I'm sitting is, wait a minute. I'm holding my cup out. No! And wait, I'm ready. Because I don't know. I don't know nothing. From my perspective, it's my perspective. My perspective at best, is a child to a parent that doesn't know nothing. A three-year-old child that's saying, Abba, give me some candy. Right? And Abba's saying, not yet, you know, you need to get some teeth first or whatever. Right? All right, Abba, can I drink Coca-Cola? Can I have a cup of coffee? No, no, no. Later. Right? At best, but it's not even that, because like the truth is between us and Hashem, there's not even, right? We can't even make that comparison. We know nothing. But what we do know is that Hashem is completely, completely merciful. Everything he says and he wants us to do and he wants to give us, it's all 100%. It's beautiful, it's perfect, it can't be any better. Us, we're slightly limited in that we have no clue about anything. And we're even more limited because we think we do have a clue. So that makes us even worse. Right? There's nothing worse than knowing nothing than knowing nothing and think you know something. Right?
Ouch.
Right? So that's where we are. Well, that's our job. As Rabbi Nachman said, as I mentioned before, Rabbi Nachman says the height of knowledge is to know that you don't know anything. Rabbi Nachman testified it on himself. I know nothing. I know nothing. And the fact that he testifies on himself that he knew nothing shows that he really knew everything. Because he knew that he knew nothing. So he really knew everything. We can't yet say that. We still think we know stuff. Oh, that's because we're not at that high level yet. When we get to the high level, we're going to realize that we know nothing. But it's Rav Hashem, we should get to such a high level. Which is completely contradicting to the modern world. The modern world says, no, you learn. You take on new ideas, new thoughts. Tov. We have to choose whether we're living in today's modern world or we're living in Hashem's world. And Hashem says both are possible. It's called free choice. I put before you life and death. You choose. You choose. They're both available. I'm going to give you 100 million options and they're all available. The way a person wants to go, they lead him. There's no arguments. Right? There's no arguments. You want to go that way, you can believe that. That also works. We look around us, people live their lives. I was going to say happily, but it's not happily. They look like they're happy, but they're really not. Choosing not to go Derech Hashem, not to live with Hashem's path. I hear what you're saying, it's not for me. I choose something else. Hashem says, fine, you can choose that. There are consequences. I'm not going to stop you. Hashem doesn't stop anyone. Anyone who comes to Tamei himself, they open the door. Anyone who comes to make himself pure, they support him, they help him. Right? The way in which a person wants to go, they lead him. We can choose, Hashem says, you're free, both are available. You're not going to choose. In this world, you don't make the wrong choice and the heavens open up and you get struck by lightning. It doesn't work that way. You make the wrong choice and suddenly you get $1 million in your bank account and everything looks great. That's the way Hashem runs the world. We don't see. But we rely on Hashem, on the Gedolim. It's truth. That's truth. And that's what we put our trust in. Rav Nachman says, put away your sechel. Rely on my advice. Right? Rav Nachman's advice is coming straight from Shemayim. He's worked on himself in ways that we can't even fathom to clarify out the truth. To clarify the truth from all the mess. we said that the world is a mixture of good and bad. It's all mixed up together, and we don't know what's good and what's bad. We're trying, and some things are clear to us, and some things are less clear. And we try every day to work out. But until we have got rid of, he says in Luke Temaran, until a person has got rid of all their ta'avot, they can't tell the truth. They can't identify the truth. Because my ta'avot blind me. My ta'avot blind me. Just like a judge cannot accept a bribe, even if it's half a pruta. Why? Because it blinds the eyes. It can't tell the truth. A judge cannot tell the truth if there's a bribe. We too are like that. We can't tell the truth if there's a bribe either. What's our bribe? The bribe is a ta'ava. The bribe is, I quite like that. Chocolate ice cream tastes good. That's a bribe. Looking at women feels good. That's a bribe. It's a ta'ava. Because of that ta'ava, I am blinded to the truth. I can't know the truth. So until I've got rid of all of my ta'avot, and I'm on the level of a tzaddik gamur, I can't know the truth. I have to rely on someone who does know the truth. And if a tzaddik who does know the truth tells me that this is true, and it goes against what I think, the reason is because my thinking is messed up. Just is. My thinking is blinded. Rabbi Nathan says, put away your sefel. Unfortunately, we're not in a position to know what's good for us, as sad and as sorry as that seems. But it's also good, because if we rely on people who are truth, we can really change and move and grow. Like Rav Nathan, I think Rav Nathan, one of the books, gives the example of a maze. We've all seen those mazes in big parks, big gardens, where the mazes are made out of trees, bushes. Have you done any of them, Ruben? You haven't created any of them for your clients? Right? Those, what are they called? They're called a maze?
There's corn mazes, too. The cornfield.
No, I'm not talking about the corn ones. I'm talking about really high ones. High ones that are above head height. No. In an English garden. It's in English. Maybe it's only an English thing. I'll explain to you. What happens. In an English garden, there's such a thing as a maze. And the English loved it. What it was, it's bushes that are above head height, and they're cut so that they're made like walls, and you have to walk around and try and find your way out.
Maze.
It's called a maze, right?
So they have that in the States, corn.
With corn.
The bales.
Corn bales, top, and they're stacked, and you have to find your way through. Anyway, it's much prettier when they're made of
Gardeners every week.
So what happens? So a person who is in the maze has no idea where he's going. This way looks good, that way looks good. I don't know, I can't see. Rav Nathan, I think, explains that who is a tzaddik? The tzaddik is a person who's already been through the maze. He knows where every direction leads, and he's now sitting on top of the maze, looking down. And he's telling you, he's giving you advice from his position, his vantage point, above the maze. Go left, go right. I can either listen to the tzaddik who's been there, done that, made the mistakes, or I can choose to go with I hear what you're saying, it's nice, but I think I'm going to go left. Why? Well, left looked good to me, I want to go this way. Fine, we can. Or we can listen to someone who's been there and done it and knows what they're talking about. Who's been through that maze. And that's a tzaddik who's made the mistakes. Same is true with us. Only when we have made mistakes, we're able to help someone. And if someone comes to me and says, he's got a question on Shalom Bayit, and I've never had any Shalom Bayit problems in my life before, I cannot help him. I can't help him. I've never been through it. I've never fallen and picked myself. I've never had the mistake to try. If I've tried and I've failed, I've been through exactly what you've been through. Now let me explain to you how to get out the other side. Your feet. And we haven't done that yet. We can't explain to ourselves how to get out the other side because we haven't yet got out the other side. The Gemara says a person who is in prison can't free themselves from prison. Right? A person who is in prison can't free themselves. They need someone else to free them. Right? The story is told of, I think it's in Gemara Brachot, Ra, I can't remember the name of the tanner. My name, the tanner, was famous for healing sick people. He went around, whenever there was a sick person, he would heal them. One day, he fell ill. And the rabbis came to him and said, why don't you just heal yourself? You can heal everyone else. And he told them, a person who's in prison can't get himself out. He needs someone else. Just because I can heal other people, I can't heal myself. Right? We need someone else who's been there, who's done that. And that's what the job of the tzaddik is.
Working hard to create that vessel.
Yes.
And Hashem fills that vessel.
Yeah.
Does the vessel still stay to be refilled, or does the person have to create new vessels in order to receive new?
If he hasn't yet received what he's asking for, he should carry on building. If he's received, then he needs to build a new vessel for the new thing. So it's not the same vessel. If he received what he asked for.
So that vessel's filled completely to the top.
Give me an example.
Say someone was praying for a certain amount of money for a certain item. What is it?
If he got the item, he's not going to pray for that item anymore.
No.
He's got it.
So he's got, if he needs more, he needs to pray for it.
So if I'm asking Hashem for money, it depends what I'm asking for. If I'm asking Hashem every day, please give me a good parnasa. So I can pray that prayer every day. Please give me a good parnasa is good every day. It doesn't matter how much money is in my account, I should have good parnasa. If I say to Hashem, please, I need 10,000 shekels right now. And he gives me 10,000 shekels. So I'm fine, that's done. I need to start a new prayer tomorrow.
So they say, I need a certain amount every week. That's going to keep,
the daily,
right?
Yeah.
Then
so
you
can
pray for more
so
if they need more.
Right. It also teaches us that a person shouldn't be a...
10, pray for 20.
No, what I mean is the vessel's not going to stay stagnant.
Reuven's point is very good though. We shouldn't think Hashem is limited. Right? We shouldn't think Hashem is limited at all. If we think Hashem is limited, then, we might get stoned for that, right? It's kafira. We can't live with Hashem, right? So a person shouldn't think that Hashem can only do a certain amount and no more. Hashem can, I agree Hashem could probably find a way of giving me 1,000 shekels, but more than that, he can't give me, and for sure he couldn't give me 100,000, and absolutely no way on this earth Hashem could ever give me 1,000,000 shekels. That is not allowed, that's kafira. Hashem can do any of those things if he wants.
I think the reason that when you pray for something, you build a vessel, you build a monah, and now you have the power to pray to get something. You understand? This is the reason. This is why you fail many times. You think you take the vessel, you're ready, but you are in violation 2 months and nothing is happening. For me, how do you say? Hashem decides the time. He now when you're ready.
Hashem knows when we're ready, because why not? Because usually, if we get it before we're ready, then as Rabbi Reuven said, we won't have emunah. What does it mean that we won't have emunah? So I'll get it and I won't have emunah. It's not the end of the world. The truth is, it is the end of the world. It's a disaster. We can't enjoy it. And not only that, we're going to use it for bad, for negative. We're going to damage ourselves. If I have money and I'm not using it for good, then there's only two options. There's no parev in spirituality. Right? There's no, I used it for a parev reason. No, I'm using it for good, or I'm using it for not good, for bad, for evil. If it's not good, it's evil. There are only two options in the world. I put before you the good and the bad, choose good. Hashem doesn't say, I put before you three options, the good, the parev, and the bad. And you don't choose good, but maybe choose parev. He doesn't say that. It's both. It's not parav. It's either on the inside or the clipper. It's on the inside or the outside. Depends which way you're facing. You can only be good or bad. You can't be in the middle.
There's
no standing on the fence.
But you cannot use
it. Sometimes even when you are not ready. Look at how many marriages are
Why? Because
it's like you were saying about the wine.
Yeah.
That good wine.
Yeah.
Sometimes you were drinking beer before. If you pour that really good wine in there, your beer is going to be pretty nice.
Right,
but enjoy it.
But it's not only that we're going to not enjoy it, that we haven't got the tools to enjoy it. The fact that we're using it for bad is very damaging. It's damaging for us and damaging it for the world. In the example of money, if I've got money and I'm using it for good, I'm giving tzedakah, I'm doing chesed with it, you're for all good reasons. And if not, it's sitting there burning a hole in my pocket. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to use it on shtuyot. I'm going to go and get it at best. Going to go out and eat in expensive restaurants, and we can talk about why that's not good. That's on the lower side of not good. I'm going to buy all sorts of electronic equipment that's going to take me out of the world and probably lead me into that. I'm going to buy flashy cars that's going to give me ga'ava. It's going to damage me. I'm going to use it for bad. Whether I notice it or not, whether I think that buying a brand new flashy car is really bad or not so bad, whether I think that buying a more expensive watch that I actually really need is bad or not bad, that's my own personal opinion, which we said is flawed, right? If I'm not using it for good, I need a watch to tell the time. And I need a watch that looks smart. I'm a Talmid Chacham, I have to look okay. But what I don't need is the watch that Piers Brosnan wears when he's on that poster, or whoever else they have up these days. I don't know, I've lost count of the movie stars, right? I don't need that type of watch. And I don't need this big fat thing that's going to knock out the eyes of everyone or make everyone jealous on the subway, look at my Rolex, right? That is not going to be helpful. It's going to give me ga'ava. It's going to give everybody else jealousy. It's not helpful. And that's just an example of having what we think is a brocha when it's not ready. When Hashem sees that we're ready, and I'm going to use the brocha properly, and it's not going to damage me, and it's not going to damage his world. And it's not just this world, right? I have to live with that in the world to come. I have to live with my Rolex in the world to come. If I wear a Rolex for 20 years, and I'm full of myself, and I cause other people to be jealous of me, and whatever nonsense, and that was just wearing a Rolex. I mean, you know, that was... I have to live with that for eternity in the world to come, that I spent my life, at least 20 years of it, acting like an idiot. Top, Hashem doesn't want me to have to suffer that embarrassment in the world to come. So he says, you know what? I'm not going to give you enough money for a Rolex right now, because trust me, you're not going to thank me later. You might think it's good now, and even now it's not good, but you just can't recognize it's not good now. But for sure you're going to recognize later it wasn't good.
Sometimes it can be so, you pray for panasa, and Hashem at the opposite, you take something away. Because you think, let's say you have a business.
Yeah.
So now you see when your business is not working so well, you pray for panasa. So now Hashem take your job away.
Okay, so
it can be the opposite.
Why?
Because first, can you pray, you listen to my prayer, and give me some shock, you feel like that's all. On the other hand, maybe you see it the wrong way. Maybe you think you need it. Yeah, Hashem showed you the way you need it, not you.
You're right. So what we've been saying is that there was a thing that happens that if a person prays for something, they say more, he wants more panacea, he wants, right, that he could see that actually he starts to suffer in that area instead of getting better. Why? So I think, say the way I understand from the teachings of Rav Arish, that usually when that happens is because it's not that I'm praying, I'm complaining. I'm complaining about what I already have. So it's not that I'm not praying in a proper way. I call it praying, but actually I'm complaining. I'm not grateful for what I have, and I'm arguing. And then Hashem is saying, Tov, you're not happy with what you have? Yofi. We're going to take it away, and that, why? Not to be mean, so that I actually start to appreciate what I have. Because I wasn't appreciating what I had before. And Hashem says, that's not a good meter for you. No, because I want to punish you, Chas v'Shalom. But you need to grow. Right, how am I going to make you grow? How am I going to make you appreciate what you already have and come to the great midah and the great benefit of appreciating what I have? Todd, we know what happens. A person gets something taken away and then they appreciate it. And then once they've got that, they're really grateful. Baruch Hashem that you took that away from me. Right, Baruch Hashem. Right? When Hashem makes a stumble, it's a big gift. I remember the very first time I either bet on something, right? Bet, like going to a casino, making a bet. So Yofi. So the first time I ever bet on something, Hashem made me lose big. I was on a holiday in Spain with some friends. I was about 17, 16, 17. And they had one of these guys on the side of the street doing one of these find the thing games, right? And it was all a big, I was a young kid, what did I know? It was all a big scam, right? But to me, I was watching, and he had his friends there. I know I'm telling you this, but he had his friends there who were all pretending to like be customers, right? And they're betting money, and sometimes they're winning, and sometimes they're losing, but they're all his friends. They're all in on the game. And I'm watching and I'm thinking, this is easy. I'm going to make a fool, right? So I waited till it was a really obvious turn about where it was. I waited like three or four turns. And this one's really obvious. I saw how it was working. I'm a smart kid. I see how these things work. And I said, fine. I said, yeah, I'm going to bet. I'm going to bet. How much is it? And he said, $20 I'm putting into. It was in Spain. Spanish coins, whatever, at that time. Right, I didn't even have that. I had like 17. And he said, you know what? I'll be kind to you. I'll take your 17. That's all I had. Like, clean me out. Right? And I was about to double it and get it all back. Right? And he took it and he wasn't there. I was like, what? He was a big con. He scammed me completely. But he took my money. I was really upset. But now, afterwards, a while afterwards, I was really pleased. Never bet again. Never bet. What a shame. If I'd have won, where would I be now? Can you imagine, where I'd be now if I'd run on the first couple of occasions? Yeah, this is great. Forget it. See you later. Kiss goodbye to your life and your money and everything. Right? Baruch Hashem, he made me fail. Top to teach us. But all, and that's what Rav Yitzhak Breiter says here. Ve'eino chas v'shalom nekamah me'Hashem yibarach. This is not chas v'shalom, some sort of punishment from Hashem. Ki im brachamav, it's only in his mercy. It's in Hashem's mercy that he doesn't give us everything we want when we want it. Right? That we have to earn it. That we're going to earn it. We're going to feel good when we get it. And we're going to use it properly. And it's going to be a bracha.
Could someone say, the reason why we say Hashem creates night and day is because he also created the day.
Sorry?
Hashem also created the day.
Yes.
So we say Hashem created the night, and then we say he created the day, night and day.
Yes.
So that we don't fall into the heresy of saying that Hashem is only good and evil is not Hashem.
Right.
So
the what we see as bad in this world is only Hashem. And it's not bad. It's just what we see as bad. And in the world to come, we're going to see. Rav Nachman says in Torah Vav, maybe? Dalet, one of them. Bayom Hahu. Bayom Hahu, Hashem Yechad Vishmo Echad. On that day, we say every day at the end of Aleinu, every single time we pray, the end of Aleinu, the very last thing we say, there's a great notice up in one of the Shtivalach, Aleinu is not Tefilat HaDerech. Aleinu is not Tefilat HaDerech. Don't say Aleinu when you're running out. Aleinu was written by Yeshua. The Yeshua that led Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, wrote the Aleinu prayer. It's a big, high, holy prayer, right? It's not Tefilat HaDerech. Don't say it as you're running out, right? Anyway, the very last line of the Aleinu prayer is Bayom Ahu Yadonai Echad Shmo Echad. On that day, he will be one, and his name will be one. Yofi, will we? So Rabbi Nachman says, what does it mean? He's going to be one. His name's going to be one. What does it mean? His name's going to be one. So he says, currently in this world, Hashem has two names. Shem Rachamim, Shem Din, Shem Elokim. Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of mercy. And the Shem Elokim, strict judgment. We see Hashem acts in the world, sometimes with mercy and sometimes with strict judgment. And Nachman explains that what this verse means is that on that day, B'yom Ha'ul, it'll all be one. His name will be one. What does it mean his name will be one? It means that we'll see that actually the names are both the same. There's no difference between Shem, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, Shem, Elokim. It's all one. On that day, we're going to see that his name is actually one. There's only one name, not two names. Now in this world, we see two names. We see good and bad. Hashem's mercy, Hashem's judgment. We're going to see it as all good. And Rav Nachman explains that Torah, We can see that today. You can have Geula today. Any of us can have Geula today. Bayom Hahu is today. Bayom Hahu imba kolo tishma'u, if you're going to listen to his voice, right, is today. Hayom. Why? Because we just have to have a different perspective. If we see that it's all Hashem, and it's all good, and it's all the same, there's no difference between good and bad. Then we're living in Geula. We're living already in Bayom Hahu. That's the only difference between now and then. Then we're going to recognize it. We're going to see that everything Hashem does is good. And we only see it's not good now because it goes against what I want. So it's not good. It goes against what I want. That's not good. It goes against what I want. Yeah, but who cares? Well, I'm flawed. When I don't give my kid the candy, that the 16th candy that she wants, and she gets upset, and she says, she's Abba, you're evil. Right? She might think that. She does think that. But she's wrong. She just hasn't got the right perspective. When she's older, Bayom Hahu, she's going to see that he was being really kind. It was a big mercy. Thank you, Abba, for not giving me the 16th candy. Right? That was a real mercy. Right now, she thinks it's evil, just like us. Right now, I think you're doing being bad to me. You're messing me up. You keep stopping me. I'm trying to be good. You're trying to stop me. Everything's bad. All these things are happening. They're bad in the world. Everything's bad. Yeah, fair, from my perspective. Later on, I'm going to see how it was all completely great, how everything was fine, just like Rabbi Yoshua in our Gemara, who had it. Shouted at Beit Shammai and said, Beit Shammai, what are you talking about? You know nothing. And then Hashem opened his eyes and he realized that Beit Shammai was really right. And then he felt really bad about himself and he prostrated himself on the grave of Beit Shammai and begged for forgiveness. He was a holy Tana and he got it wrong. And then Hashem opened his eyes and he saw the truth. So true with us on that day, we're going to see the truth. When Moshiach comes, Hashem just opens our eyes. That's all. We're just going to see the truth. And it's going to be a big shock. It's going to be a big shock, depending on where we're holding. If we're holding currently that Hashem is everything, and we know what's good and what's not good, we know what's right, then when it opens our eyes, oh, it's not such a big shock. Great, Mashiach's here, let's go. But if I'm holding that actually where it's at is the beach, and cheeseburgers, and all that nonsense, and that's where, if that's what I'm holding as my truth, and Hashem opens my eyes, I'm going to be pretty shocked on that day. I'm going to feel pretty bad, and I'm not going to know where to hide myself. Right? There are midrashim talking about people scratching their faces in embarrassment. Right? Why? Why would I do that? If I think it's okay to eat pig, I think it's okay to eat pig. Why am I going to scratch my face in embarrassment? Because someone's going to reveal to me exactly the truth. And then I'm gonna pass for shalom. Our job is, we don't want to get to that point. We want to try and work out the truth as much as we can now. And where we can't, we're going to rely on our sages.
This situation we are now in, what Hashem wants. Understand this situation? It's what Hashem wants, you have to say something. It's you, it's him, right? You want to
have
to do it.
And what's it?
Can damage you.
And who's being damaged? The only person being damaged is me. I'm the only person suffering right now. I'm arguing with Hashem. Who's suffering? Only me. I don't notice my next door neighbor suffering because I've got a problem with Hashem. It doesn't affect them, right? I don't notice Hashem suffering, even though I'm angry at him and I want him to suffer, Ki'ilu, because he's making me suffer, I'm going to make you suffer, right? The only person suffering is me. I'm the one who's stressed, pressured, can't sleep, can't eat, can't enjoy life, can't, right? I'm the one who's suffering. And I did it all to myself.
Right,
I held a grudge for 30 years and he never even knew.
Yeah.
Who am I kidding? What am I thinking? I mean, it's just not even logical. Forget spirituality. It's just illogical. I made myself upset for 30 years because of what he did. He didn't even know. He was, who am I? What planet am I living on? It's not even planet logic. But that's what I do. analogy of the person on the bus. Or let's say a person on an aeroplane. Person on an aeroplane. Right, he needs to get from A to B. He's going to get there from A to B. If he gets up and if he gets all upset during the flight, I don't think we're going to be late. We're not going to make it on time. I don't think this is in the right direction. We're not going at the right speed. Does this guy even know how to fly the plane? I'm going to get stressed and I go, what's the point? I'm going to get to that land at the same time, the same place. I'm going to get there to the destination. The only person that I'm upsetting is myself. I may as well relax, enjoy the view, accept that the pilot knows what he's doing. I'm not a pilot. No matter how many movies I saw about being pilots, I'm not a pilot. I know nothing about running a plane. I know nothing about running the world, even though I think I do. I should sit down, open a book, smile, relax, and know that everything is taken care of. I'm going to get to my destination on time. They're going to bring me my food at the right time, right? They're going to bring me drinks. If I get upset and they're going to cart me off the plane, throw me in prison, stick me in my seat, they're going to, right, it's all just for me. And I'm going to be really embarrassed too.
Let's say they come late at the airplane. At the end, you see the movie finish. Maybe this car will be on tape at 3 o'clock, but the airplane car at 5, maybe the car accident.
Everything at the end is going to is
embarrassed.
For sure, everything that I have a problem with, Hashem is going to resolve. Hashem is much bigger than me. Right, there's no problem that I think in my superb brain of thoughts which are beyond all, right? That Hashem can't, with the flick of a deal with. Yeah, I know where you are. I'm not gonna best him. I'm not gonna get to the world to come and have, and he's gonna, you know, sit there scratching his head and say, you know what, you're right. No way! I'm going to be wrong on everything that I thought. Everything that I thought was neged Hashem, de facto is wrong. De facto. Obviously Hashem's going to have mercy on me because he knows where I came from. And he knows all the shtuyot that he put into me. And he knows the world that around me. And he knows that I had to watch Brady Bunch for 50 years. And he knows that I learned morality from James Bond, and he knows right? Tov, he's going to have mercy on me, Baruch Hashem, because otherwise I'd be in real trouble. But I'm still going to feel stupid. I'm going to feel dumb. My only hope is to try and get to the level of Rav Nachman. I say, I don't know nothing. I know nothing, Hashem. I don't know what's going on, but I trust you. I trust you that what's going on right now is good, even though I have no clue why, what it's for, what it means. I don't know. Rav Nachman teaches, if we go down that route, Hashem will tell us. That's Hashem, one of the gifts he gives us is, if we go down the route of not knowing, I know nothing, Hashem says, oh, Tov, so let me explain. Let me enlighten you. If I'm going to present myself as an empty vessel, Hashem says, Tov, I'll fill you up. Your brain is empty. Tov, let's fill you up. Your brain is full. Tov, can't add anything to it. How can I add it to a full brain? You're full. You know, you've got it covered. You're full. I'm covered. I know what's going on here. So Hashem says, fine. I can't add anything. I can't give you any extra piece of information that you don't already know because you've come at me with a full brain. You think that's it? If you think that's it, fine. You think that's it. I'm not gonna burst your bubble for you. That's where you're holding. Or come with me. Come to me with an empty vessel. You know what, Hashem? I know nothing. I have no clue what's going on. Please enlighten me. Ah. Hashem, now, enjoy. Bavakasha, be pleased, delighted to explain to you why I needed you to do that, right? Rabbi, we were just talking about one of the Rabbanim who fell and had an accident, broke his arm, because of a certain small avera that he stumbled in, right? He said, Baruch Hashem. Yeah. Said he stumbled in an avera of walking between women. It's an avera. Whatever the avera was, he was happy. He said, Baruch Hashem. Why? Because he didn't get angry that he broke his arm. I can't believe I broke my arm, and here I am, a big Torah scholar, and Hashem is making me fall, and now I can't learn Torah, now I can't turn the pages, and now I've got one hand to learn Torah. What are you doing to me, Hashem? Come on. It's not fair. No, he said, Hashem, I've messed up. This is obviously from you. Hashem enlightened his mind, what the Aveira he did. Poor Hashem, he was very grateful. Everything's happy. He's the happiest man. Hashem gave me a kapara on the street. Yofi, everything's great. I'm happy with it.
But you see the level from this Baba. Understand? When we walk quickly to room, there's nothing.
No, nothing happens to it. Nahon. For us it doesn't happen. Right. But for us when something does happen, our job is to either get angry about it, I can't believe it. Or to say, I don't know what just happened, Hashem. I mean I know what happened, but I don't know why. You know what? And it's taking all of my strength right now not to get angry and not to get upset. I'm admitting I'm feeling angry. That's the feeling I have. I'm being truthful with you. I'm actually feeling very angry towards you, Hashem, right now. Right? We have to be truthful. If we don't acknowledge the truth, we're never going to get to, right? The truth is right now, Hashem, I'm feeling very angry. Feeling very upset. I'm feeling like you're treating me like this is not fair. I'm feeling like this is not magiali. Right? Now I've got that off my chest. It will disappear. If I don't get that off my chest, I'm not angry with Hashem. No, I'm not angry. No, it's all good. I don't mind. It's what happens. I've got emunah. I'm lying to myself, and it's still in there. It's in there, and it hasn't moved. And because it's in there, and it hasn't moved, it's now taking up 99% of my available vessel to do something else about it. If I admit, actually, my vessel at the moment to deal with this problem is full of anger, Hashem. Ah, your vessel's full of anger? Hashem, please help me rid myself of the anger. I don't want to feel angry, but I'm feeling angry. Right? Tov, when we tip out all the nonsense, Tov, now I've got a clean vessel. Now, okay. Now I've got Yishuv Dat. Now I'm clean. Now I can think about it. Hashem, what's going on? And now Hashem can fill me up with all the good ideas about why it happened, what I need to do about it, how I need to change. Being truthful with myself. It's very hard to admit. Very hard to admit that I have bad midot. I'm angry, no. Very hard to admit that we get angry with our wives. I don't get angry at my wife, I love my wife. No, we get angry at her. Anyone who thinks they don't get angry at their wife is lying to themselves. Lying to themselves. I can't have true shalom bayit until I actually admit I get angry with my wife. I get upset with her.
You get upset?
Yeah. If I don't admit that,
go to the street and woman, they pass through and you get upset because they are passing through you and you look something.
And I'm only going to get upset
because
until...
Because the woman, they are not that thing, they go to the
autobus
and they start to go,
But Yosef, the truth is, I'm only upset. I'm only upset because I haven't yet dealt with it. I haven't yet dealt with it. How do I deal with it? I don't have to stay upset forever.
I don't say
things I get upset about now, I am going to get upset forever. Until I'm 120, it's going to upset me. If I haven't dealt with it. If I haven't dealt with it, what does it mean to deal with it? I need to find the root of why it's upsetting me. Right, but if I'm upset, the reason why I'm upset, the reason why I'm upset is not the reason why you're upset. You're a different person. Hashem gave you your own neshama. Hashem gave me my own neshama. So the reason I'm upset is something that's unique to me. Unique to me. No one else is getting upset for the same reason. It might be similar, but it's not the same. And the only way I can get rid of that anger, upset, hatred, whatever I want to call it, is I need to get to the bottom of it. I need to empty out that vessel, look in the vessel, and see what's in there. And be truthful and say, I'm very angry. Why am I very angry? What am I angry about? Why do I even care? What's angering me here? What do I care about it? We know exactly why we're angry. We just need to sit and think. We need to say to the Hibbodidot. And if we don't know, we should ask a friend. Just like we said, a person can't get out of prison. Sometimes a person can't see themselves. They can't see themselves. They need some help. Tov, if we're sitting opposite Hashem in our Hizbodidut, Hashem, is that other person, he's going to enlighten our eyes. And if not, that's what a wife is there for, that's what a good friend, that's what a Rav. Go to Rav Kasuto has. Why is it ABC? Why is it ABC? It's Rat Hashem, we'll get there. Tov, I think we'll conclude. Thank you, Rabbi Yosef. Thank you, everyone. Shabbat shalom.